Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All-star lineup for one night of acoustic holiday magic.
Yes, indeed.
KSW proudly presents Unwrapped, an acoustic holiday featuring Brent Smith and Zach Myers of Shinedown fame.
Mm-hmm.
The Pretty Reckless,
mm-hmm.
featuring Taylor Monson.
That is correct.
Daughtry, featuring Daughtry. Hollywood Undead, featuring people who are alive.
Yes.
And a Mammoth featuring Wolf Van Halen.
Who's not that big.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hell of a show. Those tickets on sale now. KISW.com. Join us Friday night, December 12th at Angel of the Winds Arena in Everett. Get those tickets now before they sell out. KISW.com. All right, a question when it comes to relationships, personal, job, or family. When did you know it was time to go? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dylan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, go Mariners.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
Mariners.
All right. So about 12 years ago, I was working at an IT job. And long story short, I'm sitting next to a guy who is just a bundle of rage. He is chain smoking, energy drink chugging. Just, I mean, every time the phone rang, he would have to curse out loud before he picked it up just so he could let loose some of the rage, right?
All right.
Just your typical IT guy. So one day.
is that a typical IT guy?
If you're calling about a printer, yeah, probably.
Okay.
Our experience, I would say that's about right.
Until now.
Until now. We've had two normal ones, but we've worked with some crazy IT guys.
Some definite, like, and I would say interesting folk.
That is a kind way of putting that. Yes.
That is true.
Very, very kindly putting it. So this kid, he probably looked like he washes his hair once a week. He should be nowhere near people, pretty much. So one day someone has the audacity to call him up and ask him a question, and he answers it and just flips out and goes outside to chain smoke and probably chug a Red Bull or something. And he comes back in a minute or so later, and he's got this, like, S-eating grin on his face, right? Like, just something happened. I'm like, okay. So he's the type of kid that's wearing steel toe boots to a desk job. Okay, weird, whatever. And he pulls his boot off, and he's got his sock, and it's all bloody. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, what is going on? He pulls his sock off, grabs a pair of pliers, because he kicked something outside in his steel-toe boots, and his toe's all bloodied, and he rips his large toenail off.
Oh! Okay.
That was it for me. I was done. I was like, I have 4 months next to this guy. That was it. I could handle the stress. I could handle the freaking out every time the phone rang, but he just pulls that thing off with pliers and the sock and everything's bleeding. I'm like, this is a 9-to-5 job, man. What are you doing?
What did he kick, like a wall?
I barely remember it because I tried to block it out, but he said he kicked like a giant tire or something. Yeah, he kicked something that did not have any give in his steel toe boots.
So you said
it must have.
You worked with this dude for 4 months, right? And he's the reason why you wanted to get out of that job.
That was the moment. Yeah, I definitely didn't like working with him. I had other plans already. That just essentially sped those plans up in light speed.
How long did it take you to figure out that this dude is just someone you never want to be around?
It not long. I mean, you know the type. I mean, it is just like he is just angry all the time. He's probably mid-20s, so this is 12, 13 years ago. If he's still alive, I would be shocked that his heart didn't give out by now. Like, I mean, just...
Or his teeth.
Anger.
Yeah, that makes sense. Or his teeth, mm-hmm. drinking all the Red Bull. Yeah, we worked with some of those guys.
Chain-smoking. Ridiculous.
Yeah, we used to work with a guy, and he worked in... Was he IT or traffic? I want to say he worked in traffic, which at a radio station and or TV.
Insanity?
I assume, yeah. You are the person, you're kind of the liaison between the salespeople and the programming side, but you're responsible for organizing and coordinating all the commercials. I will say this. in the world of radio, that is the job I would want last. Right?
So think about it this way. Friday at 5 o'clock, you're ready to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Someone will come in with a last second order for a weekend thing going on.
Because they've already paid for it.
It'll be, you know, 100 different commercials because the event didn't sell as well as they thought it would. Could be the Maryland State Fair, whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
It's the last minute. And now he's got to go in and redo Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
For like five different stations.
And he's about ready to kill somebody at all times.
And it's a night. I mean, the job sucks no matter. I will say our traffic department here is
awesome.
They are fantastic. Or if they're not fantastic, they hide it well. But they're not nearly as stressed as this dude in Baltimore. So we realized, just watching him walk up and down the hall, he never yelled anything or anything like that, which is almost scarier, but you could see the rage inside of him. So when he walked down the hall, he always had his hands and fists. He never really had his head up. He had it down like you're muttering to yourself, you know, like when you're super angry and just need to walk away. But he did that all the time. So picture like the worst argument you've had with a significant other, and you don't want to carry it on anymore. You want to stop before they say something stupid. You ball up your fists and you mutter and go down the hall. Like 24 hours a day, this guy was like this. So we pieced together like, hey, and we were being dead serious. If anyone's going to walk into this building and just open fire on everyone, it's going to be this guy. Now, we weren't even joking. We're like, this is that guy. So we made it a point to treat him so well all of the time because we just thought maybe he would spare us when he finally snaps because we were like, look, it's not a question of if.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. But the other problem was, I liked the guy.
We
got along fine, right? But I was still working a lot of the other shifts, too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of quiet time in a studio when you're just running a board that you can talk to these people. And he would have some interesting stories.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, imagine a guy that's maybe is into metal, but you don't know.
Yeah.
And then he didn't strike me as a big drinker.
No.
But he loved playing pool. And every few months, there'd be a dust-up at whatever he was playing pool.
Oh, the pool hall or something?
Yeah. So me and our other buddy, awesome, super nice black dude.
Frank.
No.
Aaron?
He's different, same kind of product. He worked with us. The Lion. Ryan the Lion.
Oh, Ryan. Yeah. God, he was awesome.
Yeah. Ryan the Lion was super cool.
He was real cool.
But we'd have those conversations, and then this guy would leave, and he would just look at me and go, brother, he's close to the edge. I'm like, God damn it, stop saying it. And he's like, well, he likes us. We're fine. I'm like, stop saying it. And it's like, yeah, man, it could be bad.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. And it's not like we all got together and said, this is what's going to happen. Everyone had separate conversations about Vinsanity, but we all came to the conclusion, like, he's going to kill somebody.
Well, if he comes in, it's time for you to get out of the building.
Yeah.
Well, and at the time, Vince Carter's nickname was Vinsanity.
Vinsanity, right.
I don't think he ever picked up while we were calling him Vinsanity as we thought he was insane.
No, I don't think he did either. I thought he was taking it like, oh, that's cool. And it's like,
also,
no.
He was a bigger guy. He was tall. He was probably like 6'3".
He was tall.
If you're going to describe what quote-unquote, oh, this is how bad. If you're going to describe quote-unquote what a lone wolf looks like, it looked like that guy.
He did. Jet black
every day,
without a doubt.
And he never seemed... He never seemed super angry, but he never seemed happy at all.
No, definitely not. Maybe not angry, but certainly not happy.
And they clearly piled off work on this poor bastard all.
And that's the thing. And I talked, there were two other ladies that worked in the traffic department. They were very sweet, very cool. One of them I kind of got close to, and I'm like, hey, man, why do you guys keep passing the stuff on to Vince? Like, he's going to kill everybody. And she's like, look, I know, but the way that they send these things down here, it just ends up on his desk. I'm like, you can't pick up the slack. She's like, look, we do what we can, but we know he's on the edge all the time. And no one knows why. He's just that guy, right? He's just on the edge. He's born on the edge, and he's going to stay there. And I'm like, seriously, man, like, I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about me getting, like, 18 bullets in my body because something went wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, seriously, like, guys, please pick up some slack. I know your job sucks, but really, if you could do anything, because I'm scared of this man.
She's
terrified. But they knew.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because they shared their own little cubicle area. There's three of them. They're like, so they heard a little more of what he was bitching about. And he's basically bitching about the job. They're like, but, you know, everyone bitches about the job. It's just different when it's like, and I'm going to kill these, right? Everyone bitches about the job. I don't care what the job is, but he did it different.
And when he raged about the Ravens, it was spooky.
I know.
Because he didn't even look like a sports fan, Mike.
No.
So imagine all of a sudden he's like real angry at the football team. You're like, okay.
You almost wanted to reach out to the Ravens and say, guys, seriously, like, win a game for your safety.
Yeah. If you hear this guy yell, run the ball, run the goddamn ball.
Just trust us.
Right. There's one fan listening to it, it's him. And I don't know how, but he might have a weapon on him.
He is not okay.
So at the same point in time, there's a little bit
of nice guy, though, man. I love
him. And if
you're streaming, hey, man, we love you, brother.
Yeah.
So we used to broadcast live at the State Fair. So I was on at night from 7 till midnight, whatever the deal is. And it was like 5 nights a week. And the State Fair was like 2 weeks.
Oh, Lord.
So you're out there for 2 weeks broadcasting your show live. The guy in front of me, who worked in the afternoons, I've told this story before, but he ended up, we're like a week into the fair, it's a Friday night, and he signs this woman's breast because she comes up to the booth. I'm not there yet. I'm not on the air. And he signs it with a Sharpie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Unbeknownst to Johnny, her husband, boyfriend, whatever, is also at the State Fair. Now, apparently she had them out. It wasn't like she lifted up her shirt or anything. It was just kind of what she was wearing. And he signed them, and I'm standing there at the table, and this guy comes up to me, and he goes, are you Johnny such and such? And I'm like, no, I'm Miles. Nice to meet you. You know, hey, we got this, chance for you to sign up.
We got free stickers.
Yeah, we got the sticker. We want a pen. What do you need here? And he's like, if you see him, you let him know I'm going to kill him. and he lifted up his shirt, all right, and he's packing heat.
And do you have any idea what this is about at the time?
No. No. And so, okay, but so there's game.
I can almost guarantee you it is not legal.
No,
in Maryland to have a concealed.
But this is also this is also North Baltimore. This is Timonium, so it's not
Timonium.
It's not out of the question. Yeah. All right,
hey, hon, but he's dead.
But he's standing over by like one of those games where you throw a dart into a star and want to, you know, he's standing there and he's just waiting for Johnny. And I don't know where Johnny is. I know Johnny is with his girlfriend. Somewhere in the fairgrounds.
Are you trying to figure out how you're going to wave Johnny away from there as he's on approach?
He did not know what Johnny looked like. His girlfriend did, but his girlfriend is still with him. Like, come on, let's go.
So she knew that her boyfriend was losing his mind.
Oh, yeah, completely.
Okay.
So then, all right, so he's still there for an hour, hour and a half. The problem is Johnny still has his stuff behind the table. So he still has his personal
He's coming back. He's in the beer garden.
He's got his back.
He's having some fun.
Yes, he's riding rides. He's doing his thing with his girlfriend.
At the fair.
His backpack's behind me. I know he is here. So is this guy.
So is the Grim Reaper.
Right.
Yeah.
His reckoning.
So this is how... So we had a two-way communication. This is not even a... This is before the days of cell phones.
Yeah.
For the most part. So I call up the guy who's running the board, and I said, hey, you need to patch me through to Pasha, who's my boss.
Yeah.
And I need to talk to him one-on-one. You need to put the phone up to the Marty unit, and I need to talk to him. So he's like, what is going on out there? I was like, dude, there's a guy with a gun. He's going to kill Johnny Manor. And he said, are you serious? I mean, he's been standing out there now for an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, thank
his
God.
Girlfriend's trying to get him to leave. He's like, I'm just afraid, you know, that I'm going to get shot. Or because he didn't really believe me that I wasn't the person, kind of. Because he's kind of like, you're trying to Jedi mind at me? You know, like, looking
admit
at me like,
Johnny, it's you.
Yeah, like thinking it's me. So then I'm like, okay, look, I'm not going to take the next couple breaks. This is a huge state fair.
Yeah.
So I go, I grab Johnny's backpack, and I go running around looking for him. I cannot find him anywhere. Turns out at the time he was on the Ferris wheel. But
it takes a while.
Yeah,
it does.
It really
takes a while to get off.
When you get down there, I'm killing you.
But I'm looking for him. I'm looking for him. Now by the time I get back, to the booth, Pasha has already made the executive decision that we all need to get out of there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
the promotions department is tearing down the thing. He has called the chief engineer, Kenny Cardoso, who is on his way to break down the van and get rid of all the broadcasting equipment. Because he didn't want the van, because he was afraid the van was going to be vandalized or whatever. Or shot at,
right.
Because this thing just sat there for 2 weeks, the van did.
Yeah.
It didn't move. But he instructed him to go down there and get all the crap and pull it out. They're tearing down the tent. They're tearing down the table. I get back there. I'm like, what did I miss?
Right.
What happened? Nothing happened. It's just the boss going, you all need to get out of there now for your own personal safety.
All of you should get out of there now so you don't die. That's the way Passion talks.
Right. So then eventually gets all run into the parking lot.
Oh, look at that.
Johnny and his girlfriend. And I'm like, Johnny, do you understand what's going on right now? I was like, do you understand why I have your backpack? Do you understand why there was no table there? There was no tent. Why I have all your stuff with me? Like, I'm going to see you tomorrow. I'm just going to bring it in. But, dude, I have all your things. He's like, I know my car keys are in there. So it was just by chance that I ran into him in the parking lot because all his crap really was in his backpack. But, yeah, Patrick was like, you're all out of there. Like, there was like three promotion girls. There was a promotions director involved, everything. And we didn't broadcast for the first two nights of the next week. We came back on a Wednesday.
Would you go back?
And I wouldn't. They finished the week out. But he's like, you've got to be kidding
me. Did Johnny go back on the air?
He never broadcast from there again.
Okay, I was going to say, like, at least don't send his.
I mean, look, it's going to be my show at night.
As somebody that has signed a few pairs of cleavage.
Yeah.
It never dawned on him to be like, is this okay with your boyfriend or husband? I just go, all right, I'll sign him.
Right. I wouldn't think to ask because you're the one offering and they're not his property.
Correct.
That said, if he's a psychopath, I would assume you're not asking me.
I have never.
Because if you want my autograph, I assume you also don't want me to die. And then every once in a while, you'll have a dude roll up, hey, man, you saw my wife's tees? I'm like, okay. I mean, like, yeah. Is she cool with that?
Right.
And, okay.
But this guy did show up at a couple later events.
Still looking for him.
Yeah. Oh, he was. This guy was nuts. He was out of his mind. I mean, you got to remember, he had a gun that was unholstered in his pants with a T-shirt covering it. Riding rides at the fair, by my dad.
Yeah, I know. Jesus Christ, man.
You know what I mean? Like
you get on a roller coaster that jostles just enough.
Just shoot you right in the jostles.
Sorry.
Yeah, me, my gun, and my Johnson.
There you go, exactly.
But, that was one. You, your girl, and
your Johnson. Good
times.
And the state fair was stressful enough working there, man. It just was. Because, like, most people don't even know what station you're on. They do not care. They just want to know what free crap you have. And then a lot of people, and I don't know if this is true in Washington, but it certainly was in Maryland, you could tell people, hey, man, we're on the air. Meant absolutely nothing. They're just straight up having a conversation with it. You're not talking to them. They know you're not talking to them. You're obviously doing a broadcast. Meant absolutely nothing at all.
Mm-hmm. I never did anything from the fair, but I ran the oldie station, and they had a truck that had like a big window in it.
All right.
So whoever was working on the air of the oldie station, God, I can't remember who it was. I don't think it was Big Don, one of those guys. Anyhow, Mike, I'm back in the studio running the board. So me and this guy can talk, but nobody out there can hear him until he like is broadcasting.
Yeah.
And I remember he would just sit there and be like, yep, got me in here like an animal in a cage. And he goes, speaking of animals, he goes, this person in front of me looks like they've been drinking like poisoned water or something down by the bay. And I'd be like, what do you mean? He goes, I don't know, man. They don't look right in the head. This and that. Yeah. He would just describe people walking around.
Walking by.
Right, but same thing. And he was like, and we like finish a break and he's like, he goes, they're just looking at me. And he's like, it's so odd. And he's like, they're looking at me like I'm the freak. And he's like, These people are freaky looking.
They really were, man.
Baltimore's got some freaks. Seattle's got some freaks. They're just totally different.
Different style.
Like, I can't even put my finger on the difference.
Seattle, though, I feel like in Seattle, it looks like you earned whatever situation you're in, right? Even if it's just unfortunate. But, like, you may have started normal and something went wrong.
In Baltimore, you just drank the water.
You're like, bro, you have not been okay since birth.
But when you go to the state fair here, like, you'll meet, and, like, we have listeners, right? They might be from out in the cut. But they look like they could be loggers or something
sure.
like this.
Yeah.
You meet some of those people from the sticks in Maryland, and no offense,
it's
but they look
bro.
Like they're from Appalachia. They look like they've been inbred.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I don't want to say the word, but they don't look right.
No.
It's a combination between being inbred and like living beside the nuclear pond on The Simpsons.
Like both of those things happen.
If they had an eyeball in the middle of their forehead, it'd be like perfectly normal.
Yeah.
He's got like three classes, you know? Yeah.
Right, you don't have to say you're from Dundalk.
We know.
Hey, green ooze coming out of your ear, my man.
Dude, we're not even kidding. Like, I know you're from
Dundalk.
Do you
have a lump coming off of the back of your head that's the size of a cue ball?
And yes, I'll sign that since you asked.
It's like a tumor.
You know, my lump?
Like, but you never noticed it. It's just this huge cue ball in the back of your head.
And no hair doesn't grow on it.
Right.
And none of my, you can't not
but
see.
No,
one more thing.
No need to get it checked.
None of their shirts fit. It's either skinny dudes in giant shirts or fat dudes in little tiny shirts. None of them fit correctly.
It's a thing to behold, dude. We used to call it the land of the human surprise.
Yeah.
Because everyone that talked to you, like, what?
I never went to a state fair until I moved to Washington State.
It's a freak show.
It's a freak show.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.